Come on, come all, come gather round. Come hear tales both lost and found. Grab yourself a drink with a splash of lime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Story Time, the story of our lives, part two?
I want to say we've done more than, because I guess this is going to be a TOC episode again that we haven't done in forever, which it I want to say we've done three or four of them, so who knows what part. Story of our lives, so far, parentheses, continued.
Asterisk part three.
Colon, the boys are back.
Well, we'll get to your colon in just a second, David. To start us off, on our table of contents, we have what's the buzz, tell me what's happening, health updates, so recovery, dumb. Eternal sadness, times yeah. three, birthday oh week, D-LAN, the concert of the littles, book in time, video games, and coming soon news.
Wow. Okay. This is like all other episodes we've done like this. You have set a whole agenda that I have had. You technically gave me input in asking if I wanted to add anything, but you didn't tell me what was already on there. And everything I said was already on there.
And I gave you this update of what we were going to be talking about 7 minutes ago when I heard you gently washing your hands in the sink. Yeah.
So that's an important note that everyone should know, is that after I use the bathroom, I wash my hands, which you all should do also.
I guess the name of this book is What's the Buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Yeah.
Because
So I wanted to say, like, this, it's kind of fitting that we're doing an episode like this because we just took accidentally like a month off.
We didn't think it was going to be that way.
We just forgot the podcast existed.
I did not forget the podcast. It's probably the first time I've wanted to be on Twitter in the longest of time to communicate with people, but I didn't do that. I also don't know why that just happened, David.
Setting off fireworks in your video, yeah.
Don't know why that happened.
It's a celebration because we are back. We didn't go away. We just didn't show up for a while.
So then, before we get to the other things, because I think it will illuminate why we've been gone so long.
Yeah, a lot has been going on.
I want to get to health updates.
Okay.
David, you had a Dune sandworm coming out of your stomach.
That's not even close to true.
I don't understand how the human body works.
The one coincidence there is that what we're about to talk about happened the week that Dune 2 came out.
Which is, I think, why I linked the two in my mind.
I had to wait an extra week and a half before I could see it. So
you were Apoll Atreides, and fear was only in your mind. David,
here's the mind killer.
What is going on? Why is your body dying from the inside out?
It's not even okay. So the first week we were gone, we just were gone. We just decided not to do an episode. Like, neither of us were ready to do an episode.
What week was that?
Yeah, like, it was like a month ago. I can't remember exactly, but I remember we did 1 week where we just didn't have an episode. Because sometimes that happens. Sometimes neither of us gets ready. And then I think because neither of us is ready, neither of us texts the other person to see if we're recording this weekend. Like, I know that if I don't have my notes done, I let you text me about if we're recording.
I am the producer of the show in that I
Except
produce.
For what that M. Hankey is technically executive producer.
She is executive producer and has not texted in a long time. I'll give you updates on her later on.
Okay.
I am the producer, which means if I don't produce the text message to you, nothing is going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was.
There are times when I'm done with my notes, I let you know that I'm done with my notes.
Yes.
So that
yes.
it's just locked and loaded, but yeah.
I had family in town for like 14 days.
Yeah.
So when we missed our first window, all of the other windows were then closed.
Yeah. And so that is to lead into that first week.
Your dying body.
That second week. We didn't have an episode because I had just had surgery.
And I wanted you to know, I was prepared.
Yeah, you knew it was
to
coming.
Make. No, no, I was prepared to make you record in some sort of.
I don't know how to be so laid back. Like I couldn't sit forward for a long time.
It would have been a laid back, chill show. No yeah. jokes, because I don't want to hurt your tum tum.
I'll tell you in. Well, I'll do it. I'll tell you in a second why. But I had to modify my laugh for a few days. And it was so frustrating.
Did you do like a ha?
Yeah. So like, I literally, if I had to laugh, it sounded like I was being really sarcastic and didn't think it was funny because I would go ha 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 ha, ha and it just didn't work out.
You had like an AI version of a Seth Rogen laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Seth Rogen laughed,
but you take all the bass out.
when the missus had. Surgery on her stomach and could not laugh or sit up.
Yeah, or cough or sneeze. Oh, man.
We watched, like, fucked up stuff. I remember us watching, like, it wasn't, like, all Holocaust movies, but it was like, oh, let's watch something that's not, like, gonna make you laugh at all. We watched,
for the first day, I put on a bunch of really familiar stuff. Like, I watched some fucking Firefly and just, like stuff that's, like, comfort stuff that also is, like, I laugh at it sometimes, but I generally don't have to because I've seen it 1,000 times.
Right.
The one mistake I did was when I watched a little bit of Arrested Development, and that was making me have to fake laugh too much.
Was a mistake, David.
But here's what happened, because we've been talking around it. So I had hernia surgery.
And that's where your spine hurts.
So for most people, when they think hernia surgery... So I'm going to shut my blinds really quick because I just realized it's like blowing up.
No. It's better that I'm blind. It's way better that I can barely see you.
So most people think of hernia surgery and they associate it with being like down at the groin because a lot of times when you get a hernia from like overstraining, lifting something too heavy in the wrong way, a few different reasons that you can get hernias, they often will happen down there because that's when you're like lifting or straining. That's what like kind of like ruptures down there.
I was just about to say, you have baby arms. I don't think you could lift
I'm not
anything.
Lifting
so
shit.
Yeah, okay. So well, it's clearly not that one.
For those who don't know, because a hernia we've all heard of, but some people don't really know what it means. A hernia is a weakness in the abdominal wall wherein the part that is inside the abdominal wall that normally is kept in by that wall starts to poke out. So just your insides start to kind of get to the outside.
Is there like,
it's so
does that also sounding. Mean like acid falls out of your stomach? Like your stomach
it wasn't
is...
wasn't like an open hole. It's like,
okay.
Think of it like there's a hole in the wall and like the...
Where the boys can see it all.
But the intestine itself is kind of like poking out. So imagine like a water balloon inside of a, like a walled off space, and then you cut a little hole in the wall, and part of the balloon is like sticking out, but it's not broken. Right?
You mean when you tie a water balloon, but you didn't tie it when you tied it, but then there's also a tinier little
that
water
little
balloon?
Bubble in the top. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yes. So tell me about your bubble belly.
Okay.
How?
So first of all,
I feel like you hid this from me. I didn't know this was going on under your clothes.
Do you want to know the fucking crazy thing? Is I've had this hernia for over a year.
Oh, David.
Now here's the thing. It didn't hurt me. It was small and so we'll get to that. But like it wasn't bad. Like it
okay.
was. In fact, the reason I had it for so long is because when I first went to a doctor, he looked at it, was like, maybe it's this kind of hernia, a ventral hernia, which is to say that it's in my abdomen, like right above my belly button.
Okay.
So it's not like down in the groin or anything. And I didn't get it from, as far as I can remember, lifting or straining or anything. It just kind of happened.
Do you technically now have two belly buttons?
No.
Because if it's right above it, do you have another hole where they like meet each other?
Well, now I have, there's three, remember. So I got two. Okay. So I had that one for a long time. And the way I know I had it is I felt like a little lump in my abdomen. It didn't feel like a lump, like a mass necessarily.
Okay.
Although your brain starts doing those wheels. You start thinking it is. So eventually I went to the doctor about it and he's like, no, it's not that. It's probably this hernia. And then he was just like, is it hurting? I was like, no. It's like, is it fucking with your bowel movements essentially? And I was like, no. And he's like, great. Eat lots of fiber. Leave it alone. And I was like, okay. And so then I went the better part of a year, but it was always there, and I always knew it was there. And in my absent-minded, like, just when I'm, like, thinking about something or am getting anxious, I would, like, touch it. So if you, in the last year, had,
you would
have
finger
seen me,
your gaping
if
wound,
you have
you
seen
would...
me put my hand on my stomach when I'm just kind of, like, absent-mindedly sitting there, I'm probably seeing that it's still there, and yep, it's still there.
I thought, I just thought you were contemplating childbirth. I just thought you were in your head thinking, yeah. What if there was a baby growing in there?
So in that year, I developed a second one, and
like
this one is...
Like a
different.
Kink in a hose? Like, well, the one kink led to another kink in the hose?
I don't
hose?
Know if they were, one was because of the other. They're separate. So the one that I have is the ventral hernia above the belly button. The second one that developed was in my belly button. Like, my belly button is an innie. And part of it started to kind of bulge out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is known as an umbilical hernia. And a lot of people have those, especially babies right after they're born. They happen all the time.
I already talked about your baby arm, so this absolutely. Now, David, are you telling me you were just bored, or
yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
does that
so
part fit into
all of this? So
that
only happened
to
babies, but it happens often to babies. And so the doctor, when he, like, when I went back to the doctor eventually and was like, look, this thing is still here. I want to hear something other than just leave it alone. Because then I also, during this year, I looked up hernia, how does it go away? And the answer is, it doesn't.
Okay. You have to address
it
with medical surgery. Okay.
When I went back to the doctor and I was like, this thing is still here. And he saw the umbilical one and he's like, oh, you have an umbilical hernia too. And I was like, do I? That's new to me. And he's like, oh yeah, you've probably had it since you were a baby. And I was like, no, I haven't. So that's new. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, just to make sure, we'll go get an image. And this is the American healthcare system at its best. He's like, you're here at the doctor. We've known for a year you probably have a hernia. It's the thing that makes sense. Now we're going to order that we get it ultrasounded, but we can't do that here at this office. So you need to go call a separate office, make an appointment for like a month from now, and then go get an image. So I went and did that.
Was everyone in the office either babies or ladies with babies inside of them?
Yeah. So you know what's crazy is I... did that. He's like, oh, call this place and, you know, make an appointment or whatever. And I was like, okay. And then I called the doctor back like a week later to be like, I've made the appointment. And they were like, oh, he's not here anymore. He retired last week. So he was probably seeing me in his last days. Like, this guy who at that point was still like, ah, just leave it alone. Like, you could just leave it. And I was like, I don't want to just leave it. So
my sister,
I got a new doctor in the middle of this process.
My sister had a doctor. She had preemptive, a double mastectomy to look, because she thought she might have cancer. She did have cancer. And they then resculpted it and gave her implants. The guy gave way too big of implants. Turned out this was his last patient, and
Jesus
then he
Christ.
Was fucking out of
I'm
there. She had to go back in and get it addressed because I feel like that guy like just grabbed whatever was in the storeroom. I don't know. So okay,
he
you now
he didn't put in a new order this week because why would he?
Why would he? Because he's never going to see you fucking again.
The only ones we've got are these big ones, and we don't have time to wait for the small ones.
Yeah.
So. I got through all the imaging and stuff. Yes, it turns out it is two hernias, an umbilical one and a ventral one. They're still small, and the new doctor is even like, so you could just leave it until eventually one day it starts to cause problems. Then you address it. And I was like, let's try a different approach. And he's like, yeah.
I would like to address it now while I have insurance.
Well,
Thank you very much.
And the crazy thing is I do have insurance. And he looks at my little file and he goes, oh, well, you have good insurance. So you don't even need a referral from me. You can just look up a surgeon that's under your insurance and make an appointment. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you, as the doctor, still give me a referral?
Will you please be my doctor and tell me how to do it?
Like, not to tell you how to do your job, but can you do that thing where you write on a slip of paper and say that I should have this?
I'm not going to doctor myself. You understand? I'm not going to go home and this.
That's what got us into this whole mess.
right.
So he does. He gave me a referral to a surgeon. I then had to go make an appointment to meet the surgeon for the consultation.
Now, is this like a first date? You don't know each other going to look like. You're nervous.
We didn't know each other.
Your hands are sweaty.
He was a very nice man. He seemed fit. pretty no-nonsense, but had a sense of humor where I was like, at the end, I was like, there's going to be scars, right? And he's like, yeah, just come up with a good reason. I'll back you up. But that was like the only thing close to a joke he'd made the entire appointment. So I was like, okay, this guy's going to do his job, but at the very end, he can give me a little quip, and that's cool. I'm fine with that. So I met with the surgeon and it was all, he's like, yep, sure, let's do it. And so then I met with his scheduler and then had to make a schedule the appointment, which was another month or so out.
Nothing happens fast. And then every night as you are poking your hurdy tummy, you're like, is this the day it all explodes on me?
And you know, I don't say God bless very often, but God bless both my girlfriends for having to put up with me for the last, like, year, and especially the, like, 2 months leading up to the surgery, where I was just always in my head about this stupid little thing that no one can see, but I can feel, you know?
Yeah, they were like, hey, do you want to, we're going to go on a date. We're going to go to like the Carlsbad Mines. You're like, my stomach is the mines of my body.
Well, you know, and it really did start to get kind of just like, I started having like little weird body issues and like, not to get too into it, but like, I wasn't feeling super sexy and like just like little things that affect your relationships.
David, I rented a movie. Who's excited for Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Is that a sexy movie to you?
Oh, no. I was just thinking, like, you're like, I don't want to think about the insides. I see.
Yeah.
The memes of Ant-Man exploding Thanos through his butthole. You're like, get out of here. I don't want to think about that.
I did watch The Thing, like, a week before my surgery.
That is a lot of lower intestine stuff.
Yeah. So I had the surgery a couple of weeks ago. We got them both done at once. That was part of the consultation. I was like, I've got these two hernias. They're like, you know, one is in the belly button and one is like an inch and a half above it. Can we do both? And the surgeon was like, yeah. I was like, how long will it take? He's like, the whole surgery for both of them should be no more than an hour and a half.
Okay.
And I was like, cool. So, you know, got up.
Do they get to one through the other?
No, it's two incisions. So I have an incision right under my belly button and then another one about an inch and a half above. And is this the part where I say to you, do you want to see them?
I absolutely want to see them, David. Show me that belly. Yeah, hit that Red Bull. Get to it.
You know what I'm excited about is that just a couple days ago, I finally got to take the little tape bits off. You might see a little bit of residue like from the tape. It's taking forever to get off, and I don't have a nail polish remover here.
Still, you have wounds. I don't know if you want to put alcohol on them.
That's literally what the surgeon I had to follow up a couple days ago, and he said, oh, for the residue, just get like nail polish remover. So, all right, but here's the thing, question to the audience. Can you find it in a grocery store? Because I was at the grocery store today, and I swear I looked, and I could not find like any cosmetic stuff, let alone nail polish remover. Now, I probably could have looked up what nail polish remover was and looked for, like, that.
I bet people get high off of it, and I bet they lock it up somewhere. It's in some locked
thing in the front or something?
You got to go to a CVS. They sell it there. It comes in a weird bottle. It looks like a genie. It's, like, thin at the top and then curves down at the bottom like a lady.
If it's not off by tomorrow, I'm going down to one of my girlfriends tomorrow, and I'll just borrow some.
Do they? I guess they get their nails done professionally, that they don't have it in the home.
Well, they do both. Do their own nails and or get them done sometimes, I imagine.
Okay. See, now you're skirting the issue, David. Show me them incisions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So this is the top one.
Okay. So David's belly button looks like it is wearing goth makeup around its mouth. It looks like it's got black lipstick. Yeah, David, that's crazy. That zooming is crazy.
And then that one.
Okay, the upper one looks like a tiny knife fight scar, and then the belly button just looks like your belly button. It looks like you've been feeding your belly button candies.
You know what it looks like to me? The belly button one looks to me like somebody tried to slit my belly button's throat.
Yeah, like a failed assassination attempt.
It's like curving right around the lip of it, yeah.
It looks like an assassin came to your belly and hit you with two, one knife in the belly button and one right above it, and you caught them. Like, they got in, but you
they
said,
went through my hand or something.
And you
yeah.
pushed them away and then slit their throats.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good job.
So, yeah. So, I had the surgery. The surgery went fine. The whole surgery, I think, was actually like 45 minutes. They were in and out and done. And then I was just in recovery. And here's a pro tip. If you're ever in surgery recovery, especially something like mine where it was on the front of my belly, so like can't move a lot, everything you do hurts.
This is pro tips from Storytime Pod number one.
Now here's the thing, is this requires polyamory because I have two girlfriends and they basically traded off being
each taking here. Care of one of the wounds. One would take care of the top one, and the other one would take care of the bottom wound.
No. They traded off being here, like okay. the person who's here, like taking care of me and stuff. So I didn't have to be alone for the first few days, at least. So
I bet they would talk shit helpful. To you when they would punch in and out. They would have to do the nurse's thing to be like, "This is
they
what
literally he's... did." Like. Well, so Michelle was here first, and then Britt showed up, and they, like, she came in, and Michelle was like, "Here, let me show you where everything is," and, like, gave her a tour through my apartment, and I heard them, I was in the living room on the couch, I heard them in my room, like, starting to speak in hushed tones of, like, "Okay, so here's, like, the list of these things, and here's that thing," you know, I don't think they were talking shit on me, but, like, they could have.
You were on the L-shaped couch. Where did you set up shop? Did you take the L or did you take
the couch was in lounge mode, so it was all one big loungy sort of day bed.
Great.
That's what I have it kind of most of the time now. When you guys come over for our D&D sessions, I put
it down
into L-shaped couch, yeah.
Did you end up sleeping? Did you just sleep on the couch?
No, I slept in bed. They would help me up. I would still have to like get up to go to the bathroom and stuff, so like it just, especially that first day or two, was like... I felt so... I'm walking like a hobbled old man at, like, no miles an hour through the apartment. But I slept in bed.
Do you pee blood?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I didn't think that happened.
I don't normally.
Okay.
if you do, get that checked as soon as you can.
Checked.
No, but what I did notice is, and I think part of the, like, you know, all the... For the surgery, they put me under. It was, like, general... you know, anesthesia, which was my first time doing it. So that, the one thing I was very nervous about, and I think I finally said this out loud, like, a day or two before my surgery, but I was like, you know everything's going to be fine, but the one thing that I just keep thinking the whole time is they're just going to put me to sleep, and then I'm going to die. Like, that's just it.
I as a person who has, passed out from blacking out, David, it's not that bad. You just, it all goes dark
I've definitely passed out before.
Yeah, but it just goes away and then you come back. You're like, what happened?
I was in there on the table. They were talking to me. They put on My Chemical Romance for me in the operating room. And
which is not okay, which is a weird thing to like listen to.
Well, you know, I'm not okay. So.
You're correct. Okay, that's what it was.
No, it was really nice.
Did you just like the first two notes of Black Parade? You heard the dun,
no,
dun,
so
dun,
it started
asleep.
The song. We got through one whole song.
Helena.
It was I Don't Love You Like I Did Yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Helena started playing, and that's the last thing I remember.
Yeah, you thought about those umbrellas, and you're like, I gotta go to sleep.
And then it was like I was waking up right away. And then it was done at a surgery center, so like 20 minutes after I was awake, if that, I was hobbling out to Michelle's car and getting in the car.
Did it hurt to sit up?
Yes. It hurt to do anything. It hurt to breathe deep, right? And so I was taking pain meds. They gave me pain meds. They gave me oxycodone mixed with acetaminophen. So I was like getting some pretty good stuff.
The good stuff.
But they also cautioned me to not take it if I could because it's constipating. Mm. And the one thing you don't want to be in recovery from hernia surgery is in a position where you have to push or strain to go to the bathroom, right?
Do you have a squatty potty?
No.
Okay. Okay. Christmas is coming early for you, my dude, because I know there's a way to help get the ice cream from the unicorn.
So I did say fuck it and started taking the pain meds because it was hurting.
Yeah.
But what I did do is, you know, I tried to eat a lot of fiber. I drank a ton of water. And then I took, for the first few days, I took some Miralax, which is, you know, a softener, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then things were fine. But yeah, so it hurt real bad. And even when I was taking the meds, it would still hurt, but it would get better. But the worst part was when the first night, when I woke up at like 4 in the morning, and all my pain meds had worn off because it was 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And... dumb ego me, I sat there in like writhing in agony for like a half an hour before Michelle woke up, and I was like, sorry, I'm trying not to wake you, and she's like, Jesus Christ, that's literally what I'm here for. So then I took pain meds and was up at like 4:30 in the morning watching Arrested Development to try to get my mind off of it. But
you were high out of your fucking mind. That was a terrible choice. Well, and you should have been watching Schindler's List.
The meds they gave me, I don't think were super like fucking strong. I mean, it was okay. Like the opioid part of the oxycodone was only like 5 milligrams a dose. I don't know what a lot is for that, but it didn't seem like a ton. And then the rest was just like Tylenol, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the streets are doing. Yeah. I don't know what they're breaking open the gel packets. I don't know what those doses are.
But we still use the whiteboard to note the time and dosage that I had taken for each thing, and we were making sure to keep it under, you know, the recommended daily amount or whatever, and all that. So, and we even started noting my pain level out of 10 when I was taking those doses.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you can see the schedule, like, after a couple days, they start to space out more, right? And then eventually I was, like, taking one dose a day in, like, the last couple days. And then I was just like, I don't even think I need this anymore. So, yep. I couldn't shower for a couple days, which bothers me as a person. I just, like, more than just feeling clean, the shower is my, like, daily reset.
The nicer way to say this is bird bath, but I've also been told they're called whore's bath. Did you splash water on all of your parts?
I did get a little bit of a more or less a sponge bath in that early couple days. So, you know,
from surgery to everything that you just told me, when were you able to like get up fine and not be like, ugh?
Probably like 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
But I was still like sore and trying not to do much. But I could like, after like 5 or 6 days, I could get up completely unassisted. Like the first couple days, if I was like laying down, they would literally have to come and like, they would lift my torso up so that I didn't have to like do a sit up essentially.
Yep.
But after a week, I was like, getting up, walking around. And the surgeon even said, I was like, so what? I should just like lay around in bed? He's like, well, no. When you can, try to get up and walk around a little bit, because being on bed rest is how you get blood clots after a surgery. And I was like, oh, right. Boy, that's another thing to be afraid of. Cool. Oosh. Thanks for the tip. But yeah, so yesterday was 2 weeks from the surgery, and I feel fine.
You can bathe yourself again. Yeah. You can. Yeah.
After a couple days, I was allowed to shower and just not submerge it. And I, you know, I've been showering regularly basically since then.
I mean, I'm not accusing you of anything, okay? You look like you're showered.
I showered today, motherfucker.
Okay, well, man, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just.
It was funny. The other day, I had the follow up with the surgeon, and I was like, he's like, yep, everything looks good, you know, you can take the tape off, like, help it along to come off in the shower, and then the residue, there's, like, nail polish remover, whatever. Any questions? And I was like, yeah, when am I allowed to, like, I don't know, I was, like, kind of, like, shifty-eyed, like, be sexually active again? And he was like, oh, whenever, go live your life. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's like
be more intense than that.
Yeah, but that's a good question to ask. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like you utilize those core muscles. So like, yeah. Now, is it like dog stitches where they fall out, or does somebody take them out?
No one's taking these out, so I think they're just going away or dissolving or whatever it is they do. Interesting thing of how they're fixing it though, how they fixed the actual hernia, the surgery, what they do, they, you know, cut into you to get in there.
They loop, swoop, and pull, and then
they essentially, the way he described it to me is he pokes the insides back in and then, you know, stitches up the tear or hole or whatever you want to call it. And then they also, they put like a mesh, a piece of mesh in there that will just get incorporated into my body and like be a part of me now. So the both of them got fixed with a little tiny piece of mesh. So I'm part robot now.
You're a bionic commander, David.
I've got that artificial tummy.
You're only here because of science, David. Man,
if I could get like a bionic upgrade and it was like my tummy, that'd be amazing. That would be such a cool choice. If I could just like not eat something or eat something tiny, and I don't know. I just don't want to have to eat anymore.
Does the doctor need multiple hands? So as he's pushing things in, another one pops up and a nurse puts her finger there and another one pops up.
It was like whack-a-mole over there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Is everything, I mean, you said everything was in. They stitched it all up. Do you have a likelihood of this happening again because you had this? Is this, okay.
They can come back, or you could technically get a new one if I were to go and try to lift something really heavy and strain and get one that normal way. Basically what he said was, you're young, and hopefully these fixes will last for a good 50 to 60 years.
And by that time, we'll have robot stomachs, so then you should be
fine. I'm 95, if I get a hernia, I'm probably more at risk from the surgery killing me than I am from the actual fix. So, and that was another reason that like I was like, well, I don't want to wait until this gets worse. What if it takes 5, 10, 15 years to get worse and I need to address it? I'm young enough now that surgery is not a huge risk, right? So let's just do it.
Michelle did a great job of communicating with me.
Oh, yeah, like, she was on day of. She picked me up from the surgery, so she had, you know, three people, basically, you, Britt, and my mom.
I was about to say, does your family know any of this that went on? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and my parents called me the night before so that they could pray for me, but I had to be on the phone so I could hear the prayer.
Dear David. David, I know we can't hold your hands. If you could just hold the wall or grab the desk. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day.
That's how they start. Thank you so much for it.
Please bless and make sure that our sinner of a son is. May his surgeon have. May he be a holy person, be guided by the light.
It was a really weird night because they called, they did that, and then it was like, great, thank you, love you guys, goodbye. We hung up, and then we watched Sicario. As a movie.
It's a great movie.
I had never seen it.
And oh, so then David, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah. But then I also, because I was so nervous, because, you know, the next day was surgery time, I felt like I wanted to cry, but I had nothing specific to cry about. So sometimes when that happens, I make myself cry by watching, like, one of the few things that will make me cry every time. So in this case, I chose the third to last and second to last episodes of Steven Universe Future. It always makes me cry.
Always makes you cry.
They love him so much, and he just needs to love himself the way that he loves others.
Now, can I give your belly button communion? I feel like we should continue blessing that area. Maybe we should try to put a cracker in there and some, some booze to disinfect the area.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. But
so, that's all fixed. So you all, audience, have found out that I had hernias, and they're gone within the same day. So there you go.
Now, while you were... What day was your surgery?
It was on the Wednesday.
It was on that Wednesday.
Wednesday the 6th.
So before that...
Yeah.
So we've now done health updates and recovery. I'm marking them off the list. Great. We can't go back.
Done.
Okay, so now we're going to go to the eternal sadness. So
that happened a couple days. I was in recovery, yeah.
Well, now I remember. So the week prior, my uncle not doing well. He had gone to the hospital.
Yeah. You told me about that.
They had needed help with the dogs down in Orange County. They have a dog-aggressive dog, but the dog, Bo, gets along with my dog, JJ, totally fine. So I went down there and did a week. I worked just from their house and watching the dog and stuff like that.
Right.
Didn't bring any of my stuff. Didn't bring books. Wasn't in a real mood to look things up.
Yeah, yeah.
Your that led into your surgery time.
Yep.
Which is why we didn't record that week. Because I was like, why was I so lazy? That's why.
Yeah, because we had a definite excuse then.
When you were doing your surgery, that was the second half of his being hospitalized. And I believe the Tuesday night.
Like we the day before my surgery?
The day before your surgery, yeah. We had gotten a text message saying, hey, day did not go well. He's now on oxygen. Yeah. We're moving him to this other place. You know, you need to inform your family. In yeah. which the my being the master communicator was to let everybody know what was going on, but then also convey, do not blow up their phones. Nobody yeah. wants to talk about this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of Wednesday is when they let us know that he had passed on.
Yeah.
So as Michelle is texting me, I'm also then thinking of this other thing that happened. It was sad, but I knew that he had a weird form of cancer that specifically affects Chinese males for some reason have this sort of, it was a lung cancer is what it was. Man never smoked a day in his life.
Sure.
Was a doctor, was the most healthy person I knew. Had been battling this for 8 years. Mm-hmm. As things had gotten worse, the part of his brain that had been irradiated to fight off the cancer, because it had then spread, prevented his brain from being able to drain your brain fluid, which something, so he was like having weird issues where he was like falling over and they were like, why are you falling over? Because his inner ear had fluid in it from his brain. They did a brain shunt surgery, which was successful, but then unfortunately was too much on his system, which led to these other things. So I had the context that he had lost his battle. Yeah. You know, we had seen him.
Were you things. Particularly close with him?
No, like, yes and no.
Sure. I mean, he's family, obviously, so.
Well, I wasn't close with him. He's such an, he's the other half of, right, if I'm artsy-fartsy, he was so analytical in science, but when my parents were gone and had been gone, I yeah. got into regular college. I had approached them and they were like, great, you got into UCI. How are you going to do any of this stuff? that was a little thumbs up. That was him from the other side.
I'm not laughing at you getting into UCI.
No, it's fine. It's not as good as UCLA. Everybody knows that, David. It's really embarrassing for you to sit laugh at me like this. But I don't know, when you're a young person, to use improv terms, you just want someone to yes and you.
Sure.
And I like told them what I wanted to do and they supported me and got the family funds together to get me through college. And nice. When we were in Orange County, we got super close with their family and did family dinners and Sierra was involved. And I mean, I think that's when I really became close. Now,
yeah.
I don't know what his favorite movie was. I don't know. Sure. You know sure. what I mean?
Like, he didn't like hang out every day, but like, yeah.
But I definitely feel a closeness and like an intimacy. They would go on vacation and like we watched their house and would throw parties and had people over. And, you know, I felt very supported and comfortable. So in that regard, we were absolutely close. And I feel like I had gotten closer. You know, I said, I want to do comedy. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to work at Blockbuster. Sierra's going to be my wife someday. And they were like, cool. Everything yeah. gels with us. You know what I mean? And, yeah. you know, hide my pot smoking in the alley or whatever. You know, that part. But like.
Sure. Yeah.
So, knew that this was a possibility. This then came to fruition. So, I feel like there was a lot of conversation happening in my family. People were connecting and sharing and stuff like that. At the end of that week, come the next week on Monday, we found out that our friend passed away.
Yeah. So I think we found out on, or at least I found out Friday before, because I was just a couple days, and then we called each other.
Yes. Okay.
So that was on Friday. Yeah. Okay. So
then that timeline, great. And by that time, Sierra's, the other thing that happened during all of this, and I'll get to this in a second, it was my wife's birthday week, 3/11, never forget. Never forget. Amber is the color of your energy. Her mom had come out previously, and, you know, every day that she was here, some other terrible news.
Yeah.
Great. So Friday.
Friday.
Which I feel like started going through everybody.
Yeah, I could tell that he, Kurt, our friend Kurt, who was also very close with, was making a ton of those calls. I feel like by the time he called me, it sounded to me like he had already been through at least like six. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what number I was.
I just want to know how I moved myself up that fucking list.
I can't tell you. I was higher up on that list, so I'm not here to give advice. Okay,
I'm sure you were.
It's weird because we were all young people together.
I mean, I lived with him. He was a roommate of mine,
right? And I was a team captain, if you will, of when we were young people. So then I felt, I don't know if I felt obligated. I just knew that we had people that were important to us, to me, to you, that I didn't want finding out scrolling online. I knew that some people were going to find out that way, but I knew that there was people I didn't want to find out that way. So then I started communicating with him and starting texting people. The upside is that I got to connect with a lot of great people.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really weird...
Yeah.
You know, because I had a couple of conversations that day with you, and I called Zipper, and so it was like, we have all these conversations, and it's obviously a really sad, terrible conversation to be having, but to be able to, like, have it with people, and some people that I hadn't, like, verbally spoken to in kind of a while, is like, oh, that's, I guess, a weird silver lining, but...
Well, I was having those conversations, and... This is the second time in my adult life that I've had someone call me where they go, hey, I'm going to ruin your day by telling you something that you need to know and then process all of this. Mm-hmm. So that happened, and I was having those conversations. I was talking with people. I was reconnecting with people.
I found that I think I'm not very good at those conversations either. Not to beat myself up about how you respond to something like this, right? Like, I feel like that's part of what I do to not have to think about it, is I start thinking about how I'm not thinking about it, and that is close enough.
Well, I think it, I mean, there's lots of parts of it that are sad. I feel like there's also the sadness or a guilt or a shame from our group of people as we've gotten older.
Yeah, and we don't know necessarily the exact detail, right, of what happened, per se, but we have an idea. We don't have to get into that. That's whatever. You know.
Totally heard. And I think that, unfortunately, when I'm then calling other people and talking about this, they're then sharing with me what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And on top of this sadness, they're dealing with their other stuff.
Right.
And I am then open and aware of all of this stuff. And I'm not I think about these things, and I'm sad that my friends are hurting in that way. Then on top of all of that, 2 days after the Roger phone call, we get a phone call from another personal friend of ours. Won't say names. They go, hey, man, I have bad news for you. And I'm like, of course you have bad news for me. His wife was 13 weeks. She miscarried. Mm. The baby was going to be unviable. Thank God we live in a state that gives women fucking medical care. And that she if she was in Texas, they would have made her had a dead baby in her stomach for weeks to come.
Sure.
And one of the things that they shared was they were able to find it and schedule her surgery. Like, they found out on a Monday and scheduled it on a Thursday to do the DNA.
Yeah.
If they had not made that Thursday, it would have been two more weeks before that guy's back in the office again.
Sure, yeah.
While their sadness is not my sadness, I'm sad for them.
Yeah, and when your friends are going through something, you still feel something about that, you know, even if it's not happening to you. I don't even necessarily know who you're talking about, and I feel, you know, sorry.
And that's just what it is. You know, it's, you know, I feel like we're getting to that age. Half of our friends have kids. The other half don't have kids. And... you know, the tragedies of those with kids, while they're few and far between, just feel so elevated to know that they were going through that. And then I don't have any support to give them at this time. You know what I mean?
Like you're tapped out.
So this all happened the week of the 11th, which was a Monday.
Right.
So I had taken that week off because we were going to have a celebration week for my wife. As I met, we were going to go to Disneyland. We were going to go to a concert. We did all of those things, but it also turned into the heaviness of just all of this.
At least you got to have a week then where you kind of didn't have to stress about work or anything, and you could just kind of be together and kind of have time and, you know.
That is, if there is any serendipitous or silver lining, the fact that I like had already got all that time approved off, and then didn't have to explain to everybody, like, they knew that my uncle had passed on, but that wasn't the reason for this. But then, like, misery loves company, so like it was like all of this. It was a really fun week. It was a little somber, though, just to know, like, when we weren't doing things, it was like, oh, this is what else is going on.
Well, and I think those things are important because I, like, when I got the news that Friday about, like, I was, you know, I was still in recovery. So I'm with Britt at the time. And, you know, she was super gracious and was like, do you need space? Do you want attention? Like, what do you need? But, like, I didn't really get to sit with the news by myself until a couple days later. But then when I finally did, when I was just like, hey, I'm home alone now. And then I, like, had a brief conversation with just kind of remembering stuff and, you know, good memories and things. I, like, kind of got to sit and grieve a little bit by myself. And those kind of little times where you stop what you're doing that's distracting you and kind of have to be like, oh, I do have to kind of think about this for a second. And while that's not a great thing to think about, it's like, it does help, I guess. It did help me, at least, to like have time to sit with it.
Well, and you also, you know, they were part of your young person family. I mean, whole house was like Swiss Family Robinson. You know what I mean? And I mean, maybe we bring, conversation for another day, maybe bring some of those people on to talk about, because I mean that house was so fun and there were so many things that are part of it, and that's all tied into it. So the birthday week went fine. This was kind of the cloud, if you will, that was over it. Disneyland was Disneyland. We brought my 70-year-old
happiest place on earth, man.
We brought my 70-year-old mother-in-law there. She was overwhelmed. She'd have been there 30 years. It's like we did a full Disney day. I ran her ragged. 9:30 in the morning, she's like, "We gotta stay for fireworks." By 8 o'clock at night, she's like, "Let's just buy her pickles and go home." Like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Those pickles are so good.
Oh, the pickle or debacle. I did not want it. And by the end of the day, I was like, "Why are we standing in line for food? Let's just go home." We had to get the pickle. The other fun thing that happened that week is we went to a Connor Oberst concert, who is the lead singer of Bright Eyes, which is kind he writes these, his music is poetry. Like, his lyrics are great, but it's not like verse chorus. It's like, oh. And I enjoy his music, but it wasn't like one of my artists. I was there to bring the women in my life, my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, my wife, so that they could have a religious experience and sing the lyrics back to him. And I know that these lyrics speak to him because where we were standing, we got there pretty early, so, you know, it's a big, it's all, you know, we're all standing, it's general, so people are coming in, it's a place downtown, probably 1,000 people could fit sure. there, I don't know how many was. But as we were getting ready, there was, in front of me, a slew of women, all under 5'4", David. It felt like this music speaks to women under 5'4". They just, like, get it. I don't know if Michelle listens to Bright Eyes. You should maybe ask her to listen to it, because I think it will resonate with her on a level that you and I, it goes under our heads, not over our heads, under our heads. Yeah. But it was great. It was wonderful. That then, as we went to Disneyland and did all of that, we came home with, like, I don't know, like a tickle in our throat. But maybe maybe it's the beginning of spring. Anyway,
tickle in the throat is nothing anymore. We've passed that point in history. Tickle in the throat is something.
It's something. So, like, I don't know, by the end of that week, I was snotty and shitty, but I used all my time, so now it's back to the grind.
Yeah.
So, all that to say,
we haven't had an episode in a while.
We haven't had an episode. And usually when I have time off, I do, is a time when I, like, would do producey stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't want to ask our friends to do anything fun. I didn't go to any of my normal places to find stories.
I hear you. And listen, I read the next Animorph book at this point now, like a month ago. And I keep being like, I'm going to do these notes. And just literally every time I have it, the book bookmarked in my notebook. I have the heading already written. And that's as far as I got when, like, work interrupted and then the day got away from me. And then
David's notebook is blue. Mine is red. I also have
my
current notebook.
Yeah. I have like 5 that are filled.
You fill them up? I totally feel you.
Yeah. Do you want to see, I won't say it out loud, but do you want to see a book that I recently got at a bookstore that I think I might use later after I finish Animorphs?
I mean, if you have it nearby, you can show it to me now. If not, you can wait till we're off air. I mean, that's totally fine. It's funny that you're bringing a new book. We keep getting these emails. I don't know if they're from AI or bots, of people being like, hey, do you think this book would be good for your show? If so, we'll give you a review copy. But it's like,
there's no way that's real. It's the same format every time.
We would spoil the book. Like, yeah, do they not understand? They obviously don't fucking listen to the show. Should we ask for copies so we can ruin the books from the AI?
I don't want
to
do that.
I'm ready to stick it to these robots, David. Fuck these robots.
So this is a preview for you. Not confirmed I'm going to be using it at all, but I think I might for maybe a couple episodes.
No, David, don't tease me like that. That's 100% the kind of stuff I want to do on this show.
Yeah. I feel like you're going to like this.
Well, all of that to say,
don't worry, because there's still like 14 Animorph episodes before that happens.
Well, all that to say to everyone out there in listening land, I will include David in this. We hope that you are doing well. I hope that whatever sadnesses and things that you are going through, I hope that you are navigating those waters well. David is healthy and on the mend. I am becoming healthy and on the mend.
He did it.
We have a lot of fun stories coming all of your way very soon, and fun friends to come join us in all of these things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sorry that we were unavailable to meet up with everybody, but thank you for waiting in listener land. Thank you for being a part of us. The wife is in the room looking at David. Sierra, would you like to share anything to the audience? She's technically never been live on air because
episode that never will see the
light of day. It will never see the light of day. I told David as we were recording it, this will never see the light of day. If you do that, if you do emoji Sierra, they will show up on the camera. Just so everyone knows, the podcast hasn't gone anywhere. We're doing fine. More episodes are coming. Thank you all for waiting around. And we have not forgotten you. We're excited. I'm excited too. I think that when things upset the apple cart, there is a niceness of returning back to normality. And yeah. I am excited to have you be able to laugh and read again and focus on things. David, you do your notes. I'll do my notes.
My notes? Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll bring lots of more fun story time episodes everybody's yeah. way.
Yeah, what's next on the list?
No, David, we're out of time.
What do you mean?
We were going to... Listen, we have no time for books. We have no time for video games.
You can't
games.
Give a table of contents and then skip...
We have no time for... Chapters. We just... I mean, we technically did coming soon, and then the bottom of that is TBD, but I think it's time to call... It's time to go to the end, David.
Okay, fine. Jeff,
it's time to go to the end. Listen, it's a big day.
Do you have something to do? Like, is Sierra waiting for you to get off the computer so that you could do something?
I mean, I wish. No, she's not waiting for anything. I mean, technically, I mean, I don't know. We have new episodes of Traitors UK and the Roadhouse movie just came out with Jake Gyllenhaal, and boy, does he look jacked. So I don't know, but I try to record these things when she's not around. So now she is back. So my leash is, I can feel my leash getting pulled. Your ladies aren't there. It's Thursday, though. Is anyone coming over to you?
Nope. I'm just going to be here.
Great. Well, listen.
And I accidentally drank that whole Red Bull while
which you
we
did,
were doing this
which
episode.
You said you weren't going to do, David. You messed up. You messed up, David.
I sure did.
But I love you. I'm so happy you are here and healthy and happy. And I'm happy to know that there is no complications for all the stuff that you were recovering from.
I love me, and I'm so glad that I I love you, too. I can say it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you in listener land.
Yeah.
The one who has a belly button that looks like it's wearing black lipstick, well, that's David Miller.
And the one who wishes he had more holes in his body, well, that's Michael Santel.
I can plug them all, but I don't have enough fingers. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all of you ears, and we'll see all you kids and cats next time.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
That's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all, and we'll see you in a bit.
I want to hear David.
Hi.
Hi, David. I want to see your belly button.
Okay, one second.
Hot dog, David. I didn't stop recording. Now we've got Sierra on the podcast. Bye, everybody!